If she sees 3 days, then she becomes a Zava Gedayla. A Zava Gedayla must observe 7 clean days. So Midaraisa Nida means she sees Dam, any amount of Dam, she is tummy for 7 days, whether she sees a teapot, a drop, or she sees throughout the 7 days. After 7 days, she goes to the mikvah. However, if she sees 3 days during the Yemei Ziva simply means 11 days following the 7 days, and the 7 days are defined by the onset of seeing Dam, so then she becomes a Zava Gedayla. A Zava Gedayla requires that she observe 7 clean days before she can go to the mikvah. That is the halacha midoraisa. Now, there were 2 stages in the development of the halacha that we have today. One stage was that due to the fact that we weren't always sure when a woman saw Dam, that she saw Dam which is metameh, meaning to say that maybe the Dam is a color of a type that is tar, so she could really think that she is in her Yemei Nida when really she's in her Yemei Ziva. Because let's say, just for an example, she saw it for 7 days, and only on the 7th day was it the Dam that really is the Yemei Nidus. So then the Yemei Nidus will stretch 7 days from the 7th day. She thought the 7th day was 7 days of seeing Dam, but maybe the Dam of the first 6 days did not qualify to be true Dam for becoming Tomei. So there could be a lot of confusion between Yemei Ziva and Yemei Nida. So therefore we said, let's always observe 7 days. But you could argue, but if she only sees a drop for 1 day, how much confusion could you have? After, what do you think's going to happen? So we're going to get confusion in the mathematics, in the counting. The halacha l'maisa les man depol of gizman hazeh, you have to wait 7 clean days for any dam which is seen, and it comes from the original halacha midaraisa azava gedayla. In other words, all nashim who see today, we treat them as if they are zavais gedaylas. If I say something that's not understood, please ask, whether it's a term, a concept, a halacha, but please ask. Now that accounts for the 7 clean days we know about. What's with the 5 days? What does it mean you have to wait 5 days? The 5 days emanate from a different halacha. There is a din of poiletes shichvas zera, that if a woman is with her husband, and then after being with her husband, she gives out, she expels zera from her husband, the halacha is that it is saiser. You can't count that day as the 7 clean days. So for instance, let's say a woman is with her husband, and there's no more Dam. Let's have 7 clean days. What's the problem? You can't count the 7 clean days right away, because since she was with her husband, the Zera, which the husband put in her during the relationship with the husband, it could be expelled during the Zayin Nekiyim. Zayin Nekiyim that has Pleitas Shichva Zera cannot be Oila for Zayin Nekiyim. So therefore we say, any woman who sees Dam has to wait 5 days till she starts the 7 Nekiyim. Because if she does not wait 5 days, we are afraid the Zera will come out and disrupt the Zayin Nekiyim. Zayin Nekiyim is the 7 clean days. A woman, when she is preparing herself for the mikveh, has to have 7 days that she saw no Dam, no blood. So why does she have to wait 5 days before she counts the 7 days? The answer is to make sure she's not a poileta shichva zera. She doesn't give out zera from her husband, and that will disrupt the 7 clean days. What's the mile of 5 days? 5 days is really the halacha that the zera, after 5 days in halacha, it gets spoiled. It doesn't have a halacha of zera, and therefore it cannot really counteract or contradict the 7 clean days. Now by right, 4 days are enough. You don't need 5 days. But we're afraid the woman will make a mistake in counting. She will have relations with her husband really before the beginning of the day. She will think she had it after. it's problems of mistakes, so therefore we have 5 days. Let me just say, in terms of halacha, sometimes one day can be forgotten. Sometimes a woman could start the Zayin Nikiyim after 4 days. Normally, let me just get it clear, the basic halacha, normally you need 5 days from the onset of Dam till you start the 7 clean days. Sometimes you can be lenient with 4 days after the onset of Dam to start the 7 clean days. Very often you can't start the 7 clean days before 5, 6, 7 days. But at times you could. And at times a woman became tummy through spotting. If you become tummy through staining, you surely after 1, 2 days, you can begin the 7 clean days as far as the possibility of getting clean days are. But the halacha is you have to wait 5. Sometimes you could be making with 4. Maybe we'll talk about it, but it's not really something that we should give 100% guidelines when you could be making. You should know if there is a problem. It's very possible the Rav will tell you, only wait 4 days and then start the 7 clean days. Sometimes problems of conception. Sometimes there are difficulties with having a mikvah. A person, let's say, is going to leave in 11 days. If he's going to count 5 and 7, they won't have a mikvah where they're going. Maybe a Rav will be makel for you and say, only wait 4 days and then count 7 days. But it depends on a lot of factors. Therefore, you have to ask a shayla.
What's it?
Yeah.
Isn't there some room that it's 3 days and 4 was an extension, 5 was an extension?
No, really it's 4. You see, it's 3 days because it takes 3 days for the Zera to be Masriach. But just mathematically, if you need 3 days, which is 24 hours apiece, you're going to have 4 days because it's going to start in the middle of the day. So you have half of the first day, which you didn't have a problem, and half of the last day that's not a problem, but you need 4 complete days. So you're right, the 3 days is the time period that the Zera loses its halacha of being Zera. The 4th day is just by default. You understand what I mean by default? Let's say a woman is with her husband Monday at 2 o'clock, so you're going to have to wait till Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you can have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that you can't do anything anyway, even though you need 72 hours. But you're going to have a little before the day and a little after the day.
It's into the 4th day.
Yeah, but you can't make a hefsek tire until the end of the day. So in practice, you're going to have to wait 4 days. It doesn't have to be 4 days. It could be 3 days and half a day, right? Now, we don't need 5 days either. It could be 4 days and part of a day. But the extra day we add on is due to mistaken calculation. 4 days is min adin. The extra day we add on is due to mistaken calculation. So therefore, in halacha is 5 and 7. You can't get around that. However, b'shas hadchak, there are times that the poskim are lenient and you only have to wait 4 days and 7 days. And if it's the shas hadchak, I gave you an example. A person knows that he's leaving after 11 days to Antarctica. There's no mikvahs in Antarctica. And also you can't be tovel in the sea there also. So therefore, what do? Maybe the Rav will be makel and say only wait 4 and 7. Yes, Rav David.
Doesn't the din of 4 and 7 apply to all newlyweds? Really?
Only by, right.
Dam Sulam and not Dam Nidah?
Right. Well, not just Dam Sulam, but right. And also a Kala before she's married. Yeah, Nochinam. Let us continue. Now, the halacha is any time Dam comes out of the womb, the Isha is Tomei and she is usher to her husband. Regardless whether it is a liquid, sometimes it could come out a little crusty. She is going to be tummy. It doesn't matter her age. It doesn't matter how young she is. It doesn't matter if she's expecting. She's tummy even if it is a kol shehu. There is no amount of dam that must come out in order to be tummy. However, I want to tell you, which I'm sure many know, a very important distinction, which is really the basis of so much of Hilchas Nidah. A woman does not become tmei b'deraisa unless she has hargosha, unless she feels the dam coming out with a sensation. If the dam does not come out with a sensation, she is not tmeya midoraisa. What do I mean by a sensation? I don't know what I mean so clearly, because there's 3 shitas in the Rishayim. Some say it's psichas pi hamakar. It's a feeling that the cervix is opening to allow the dam to come out. It's a feeling that the cervix is opening to allow the dam to come out. That is a sensation that when dam comes out in such a scenario, she is tmeya midoraisa. Others say the Rambam nizdazda evareha. There's a shuddering, a shaking, a mild shaking that accompanies the dam coming out. The third one is mentioned. There's a Naidib Yun and a Chsam Sefer. It's zivas dover lach. It's a sensation that there is something which is wet that is really passing from the isha, from the womb, through the cervix, and beyond. That is, according to some paiskim, a hargasha. Now, the other side of Hilchas Nida, which is drabanan, even though there's a lot in the middle, but we're not going to cover a lot in the middle, the other side of Hilchas Nida is ksamim, is stains. A stain is characterized by the fact that it was found. It's not associated with any hargasha. Since it's not associated with any hargasha, it can only be aser midrabanan. And there's many difference between ksumim, as it's referred to, which simply means stains, and between a rias dam, a seeing of dam, which could be associated with the sensation, which is the raisa. Now, let me tell you when, bizman hazeh, quite frequently, we have to be concerned with the iser de raisa. If a woman makes an internal bedika, which we'll talk about hopefully tonight, when she makes it, when a woman makes an eternal bedika, the Gemara said, that is a question of a deraisa. Because even though she may report to us that she didn't feel any sensation, but maybe the bedika cloth, which was internally inserted, camouflaged the sensation, and there's confusion in her mind. So therefore, dam that's found on a bedika cloth rises to the level of being a question midoraisa. After an Isha uses the Beis HaKiseh, the bathroom, so those shilas are also related to a deraisa, and those shilas are complex, and they have to be asked anytime something is found on paper. You have to ask the Rav. The Rav's going to ask you questions about the circumstances. He has to decide whether that's a shila deraisa or a shila derabanan. And the third case, the Gemara says, if dam is found after a husband is with his wife. Those three cases are the cases today that are very common, that have the element that maybe they are deraisa. The classical case, which is the Rabbanan, is when you find it on a garment. That is the Rabbanan, because it was found. It's not associated with any sensation. So surely, a shayla on a garment is much more lenient than a shayla on a bedika cloth, because a bedika cloth has the element of the raisa, and on the garment has the element of being the rabbanan. Now, there are halachas which I just want to touch upon, but they're pretty complicated, and when they happen, you really have to ask a shayla. In Shulchan Aruch says, if a woman has a sensation, and she says, I feel one of the feelings I mentioned before. So she checks herself, and she finds nothing. It's very possible she's tmeya, because we have confidence the sensation is related to seeing dam. But where's the dam? We don't know. Maybe it got lost. We can't say for certain. But a sensation without finding anything is worse than a sensation and finding a color that is tahar. Because we usually assume a sensation is related to dam, and if a dam is found, she's tummy. If no dam is found, we say, hey, maybe it got lost. If a mara tahar is found, then we say that the sensation was related to mara tahar. It's very often, and I would say that more often than not, it's not a shayla. But if it comes up, you have to know to ask a shayla. I would say in Hilchas Nida, more than not, most shilas are kosher. It doesn't mean you can paskin all shilas with Reif, because they said most shilas are kosher. Then you say Reif shilas are kosher. I'm saying people who are not familiar or are not accustomed to asking shilas, usually or often, the shilas are kosher. It's very true with Maris. A lot of people don't show Maris. They assume it's no good because there's a color there. But my experience is when people do show, they are really surprised that it is good often, by many people, as opposed to not being good. But you have to ask. You can't decide until you get some feel. Then maybe you could decide ones that are fairly simple. But you always have to ask a shayla.
Yes. So You're saying if the woman feels like the symptoms, then she becomes nida?
No. If she has the hargosha, one of these hargoshas I mentioned before, psichas pia makar, the opening of the cervix, nizdaz de veres, some sort of shuddering, or zivas davalach, which most don't feel that this applies to this halacha, and she finds no dam, she, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is tmeya, but it has to do with a lot of problem. You have to ask a shiloh.
So she could be tamei.
She could be tamei.
But what about, let's say, a woman, they say they have cramps.
No, cramps, I'm not talking about cramps. Cramps is something we'll learn when we learn oinus veset, that's vestaguf. We're talking about these sensations that are related with the actual seeing of dam. So again, just to be clear, a woman has to wait 5 days after she sees her dam. Then she has to have 7 clean days. There's 2 ways to become tamei. You can become tamei through seeing dam, or have a suffix deraisa with an aid bedika, or following the Beis HaKisei, that is a shail of deraisa. If you find a stain, it's only drabon. Now let me give you a little preview. A little preview. I see we have a movie camera here, so I guess they used to call it a preview, at least many, many years ago. There are 3 basic differences between deraisa and drabonon, which is really the big difference in Hilchus Nida. Deraisa, it's even a spot of dam. Midrabanan, on a kesem, it has to have a certain size. Midraisa, you could find it on blue, and you're going to be tmeya. A kesem, a spot on a stain, if you find it, you're not tmeya unless it's white. Now, you ask me about off-white. I'm not going to answer you. But you should, the woman during the days of Tyrus shouldn't wear light. She should wear dark. Why have to ask a shayla? Make sure it's dark. In fact, there is a minig. It's not evading the halacha. The Ramah says the minig is that the woman is tahira and she's not during her 7 clean days. She should wear dark. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to evade shaylas. You're not supposed to create shaylas in these areas. So al kaponim, we have 2 differences. Difference number 1 is any speck, if it's a deraisa level. If it's a stain, it's only with a shear of grisvay, which we'll talk about. The second difference is colored. If it's the rice, the color is not going to help you. The only thing color is going to do is confuse the rub, because it's hard to see a color on a color. If it is a stain, it must be on white. And what's the third thing? It has to be found on something that's makabel tuma, something that could become tummy. If a woman, for instance, notices for some reason she was sitting on a chair, she came out of the shower, and she noticed on the floor a speck of dam, but the floor is not makabel tuma, so therefore she won't be tamei, even if it's larger than the shear that usually is metameher. However, when it comes to deraisa, there's no difference where the dam was found. If it's a deraisa dikatuma, wherever it's found, it will be tamei. Okay. Now, let's talk about probably one of the most prevalent shaylas, okay? I hope everyone is following, and any questions, terminology, concepts, halacha, please come forward.
A liner is considered white.
A liner, you're asking a very complicated question. You know why? A liner is white. Now, a woman during Yemei Tyra should really wear a colored liner. I don't know if it's so easy to come by, but it exists. Now, a liner really is white. The only way we could say a liner is fine, because maybe it's not makabel tumah. Then you go into the shaila, if you're holding something that's not makabel tumah, does it have a din of kabbalah's tumah? We will touch upon that in Mirtz Hashem when we talk more in detail. Yeah?
Why don't we say every time she goes to the bika, internally, might be hargosha there?
No. We don't know if there's hargosha. So if you found dam, then you have to be concerned there was hargosha.
Only the dam.
Sure. If you found dam, you have to be certain hargosha. If she has hargosha with no bedika cloth, then it works the other way. There's hargosha, there must be dam. If she doesn't find, if she does a bedika and there's no dam, we say there was an hargosha and it was the bedika cloth that caused the sensation. But if she finds dam with the bedika cloth, then we say, aha, dam she found, there probably was hargosha. Now, there's a halacha that we're toila when we find dam in some sort of other source other than the womb. For instance, let's say Yanisha has a cut, and then she finds dam, and she sees there's a cut. So then we'll say, the blood came from the cut.
Now, when could you be Taila? That's called being Taila. You hang it on a different source. When could you be Taila? There's three factors depending on Taliya. Is it Deraisa or Derabanan? Deraisa, you could be Taila, but it has to be a very good Taliya. It has to be a wound that we definitely know gives out dam. So for instance, let's say Anisha makes a bedika, and she sees the cloth has blood on it. No question, it's blood. But then she realizes she has a cut there that's oozing blood. No problem. She is Tahira. She did not become Tame. Why? Because we attribute it to the cut. And there's ways in Halacha to decide whether there's a cut. You don't have to go to the doctor. There are ways in Halacha to decide. If it's in the first 3 days of Shivas Nakim, it's a problem. So the questions to ask yourself, if you suspect the blood came from another source other than the dam, which most usually is, most often it's a cut, you have to ask, what type of cut? Is it a cut that gives out dam, or just a cut that we suspect maybe gives out dam? That will be a difference between Deraisa and Derabanan, as we said in the introduction. Secondly, I want to know, when did you see it? Did you see it during Yemei Taira? Did you see it during the Shivas Nakiyim? Did you see it during the first 3 days of Shivas Nakiyim? That's a very important question. So you want to know really three questions. How bad is the cut? Does it definitely give out blood? Or does it just maybe potentially, but you can't say for certain? You're going to ask a question, when did this happen? During the Shivas Nakiyim, and in particular, during the first 3 days of Shivas Nakiyim. And you're going to know whether it's the rice or the rabbon. Are we talking about a kesim? Or are we talking about an aid bedika of a shaila deraisa? Now there's a very unusual halacha, and if not for the Chassam Sofer and other gedolei olam, we'd be in big trouble. Why do you think if you find a small spot on a garment, we disregard it? Not in an aid bedika, but on the garment. Why do you think if we find a small spot on the garment, which is less than a gris, which is usually defined somewhere between a dime and a penny, the area of a dime and a penny, why do you think you're tar? She found blood on the garment. Why is she tyra? On the abedika, she's tmeya. But why, if she finds it on the garment, is she tyra? The reason is because in the time of the Gemara, there was something known as machoilis. A machoilis is what it sounds. It eats. It's like a louse, or maybe it is a louse. So therefore, blood was common to be found on the body. So one could argue, that's ridiculous. In the time of the Gemara, they were able to say, this blood maybe came from a louse. A possibility. Today, Baruch Hashem, we don't have those around. But the Chassam Sofer brings a raya, that's a constant. That doesn't change. Even though, if other things change, Hilchos Nida will change, meaning if there was some blood source and today we don't have it, that will change. But by Machoilis, it's a constant. It's the minik pashut, I don't think anyone is machmer, that the halacha was set up that you have to have a certain size. Even though today it makes no sense. It makes no sense to say the blood on the garment came from a louse. People don't have Machoilis in around. But the takana was instituted that you have to have that shear. So therefore, if you find the speck on the garment below that shear, it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Zecher l'machoilis, because that was the takana originally instituted, that it has to have a certain amount, and if it doesn't have that amount, a dam. But again, that's only by a stain. It's not by an eid bedika, but that's the raisa. The raisa, even in the time of the Gemara, would be tamei. Kolshkein today, it makes no sense. We have to look at the ikar din, the true halacha. But as far as the garment goes, we have that same halacha, that it has a certain size. Now, the colors of dam that are metame, is really red and black. Now, red is not something I could describe to you. As long as it leans towards red, that takes experience, and basically you have to ask a shaila. There's no way I could communicate to you what colors will be tummy and what colors will be tar. It's true that the level of redness is much higher. In other words, it's more liberal, I should say, what we call red when it comes to an aid bedika than when it comes to a kesem. That's obvious. One's the raisa, one's the rabbanan. When we're talking about the varm shel deraisa, you have to be more machmer. But in terms of chazal, the level of redness is subject to really custom, how this rav learned from the other rav. But even black also could be Tmeya, because the Gemara says it's really blood that was Laka, something happened to it, but in Halacha, it is considered something that is Dam, and it can be Matame. Now, Hargosha the Rice, Eid Badika, Acher Beis Akise, we spoke about, the Rabbanan needs a certain shear. It is appropriate to wear colored clothes because that takes off Tumas Ksumim, as I said, and a Dovrishim Akabal Tumah. Now, Leah mentioned a question, very complex, and I put it out to the Yoilim, and you should know it's a Shaila and how you're going to deal with it. Certain synthetic garments today, and a liner, they are made from Dvarim that are not Makabal Tumah. So by right, one could argue that if you wear a garment that is made from synthetic, I don't know what polyester is made from, they say from petroleum, or, you know, from petroleum today is very expensive, but I'm not sure exactly, but certain things are not Makabal Tumah. So one could argue you could wear white and you won't become Tomei. That's an argument. But some say if the object is not Makabal Tumah, but it's being held by a person who is Makabal Tumah, it loses its status of not being Makabal Ksumim, and you become Tomei. Number one. Number two, if you don't want to accept that Shita, it stands for reason that during the seven clean days, the woman can't wear that garment. Because during the seven clean days, you have to wear a garment that she can become Tomei with. So you really have to decide, maybe not yourself, in consultation with your Rav. If you want to say a liner, which is made from synthetic, is not Makabal Tumah, which is very possible, then you have to realize during Shivs Nakim, you have to get a material made out of wood or cotton that is Makabal Tumah, because you have to wear something that you can become Tumah during the Shivs Nakim. Usually, Rabbonim assume that if she's wearing the Begid, it will become Tumah. And they won't say, because it's synthetic, you won't become Tumah. That's the usual psak of most Rabbanim. Doesn't mean all Rabbanim. But I'm explaining to you, if you're going to use that leniency, you have to be sure during the Shivas Nakim that you'll have something that can be Makabal Tumah. Now, often a woman goes to a doctor for an examination, and it says in the Gemara, Psichas HaKever. You know what Psichas HaKever means? Opening of the womb. It's called a kever. A kever. Where a child is formed is a kever. You start off in a kever, and that's where people end up after 120. And it says over there, if the kever opens, Dam comes out. There's a tshuva in the Noida B'Yehuda, and an Arichas in the Chazai Nish. What happens if the opening of the kever is external? A doctor has to insert an instrument through the cervix. Does that render the Isha to be Anita, because we have a klal ein psichas hakever b'loy dam, there is no opening of the cervix without blood. Big machlaikis, if a woman undergoes an examination, a shaila should be asked. Most paiskim say it is tamei. Most paiskim say it's tamei, but it has to have a certain amount of width to it. A very small instrument that's flat and is not anything near the thickness of a finger will not cause a problem, according to most paiskim. But if it's such an investigation, you have to ask a shaila to make sure you don't have that problem of ein psichis hakever
b'loida. Standard visit to the doctor's office.
The standard visits, how they were till today, is not a problem. Pap smear, all these things are external. They don't invade the cervix at all. And if they do, in certain cases where they feel they have to investigate further, you really have to check out and ask a shaila. But usually, often, it doesn't have the thickness for psichis hakever. Okay. So what we have here, at least in my notebook, the first chapter finished. How a woman becomes Anita, the difference between Dreis and Rabbanon, colored, size, and also Dover HaMakabal Tumah, the issues concerning that. Now, we know to become Tomei, we talked about, to become Tar, you go through the five, the seven clean days, you have to make a Hefsik Tyra. A Hefsik Tyra. The Hefsik Tyra is extremely important because that establishes the woman to be Tahar and she can count her seven clean days. The Hefsik Tyra must be made before the onset of the seven clean days, which means before Shkia. I don't have that many fingers, and I could have maybe numerous hands, how many times I get calls. I made it 3 minutes after Shkia, it's all right. I made it 10 minutes after Shkia, it's all right. I'm telling you, you have to make it before Shkia. If you make it after Shkia, get on the phone and ask the Rav Shaila. It should be made before Shkia, the Hefsek Taira. The Hefsek Taira should be made before Shkia. If you make it after Shkia, I don't have to hold back all the information. Rav Moshe is somewhat lenient. Ruba the Ruba Paiskim are Machmir. It's very interesting. The Chassidish Paiskim are Machmir when they're usually Makel and Shkia. And Rav Moshe, who is Machmir and Shkia, is Makel and Hefsek Taira. He has a Shita of Svek Svek, a very complex Shita, which is a Chiddish. But anyway, it should be made before Shkia. That's the proper time. During the summer, when you makabel Shabbos early, it should be made before you makabel Shabbos. If not, and you're makabel Shabbos, you could make it before Shkia. Because Kabbalah Shabbos really doesn't constitute the onset of the next day. Kabbalah Shabbos simply means Kedusha Shabbos came on Friday. But l'chatchila, you should make it before Shkia. You should make it before Shkia. If you made it after Shkia, then you have to ask a shayla.
How early can you do it?
How early could you do it? L'chatchila, it should be made in the evening. You should make it maybe 20 minutes, 40 minutes before Shkia. Why? Because often a woman tries a Hefsek Taira, even after she washes herself, it doesn't come out good. So you want to try another one. Another one will be already after Shkia. So really, the ideal time is about 20 minutes, a half hour before Shkia, up to Mincha Ktana, which is about 2 hours before Shkia. However, b'di'evid, she can make it in the morning. If she can't make it, in the afternoon. However, the b'di'evid really has to be a big b'di'evid. Number one, most women can make a Hefsek Taira wherever they are. You go into the ladies' room, you make a Hefsek Taira. So really, it's not so simple to be lenient. Another reason why it's not so simple to be lenient, there are two scenarios that not everyone holds you can make it in the morning. Scenario number one, if she saw actual dam on that day, and that was the first day, let's say she had a Rias HaDam that lasted only one day, 10, 9, 8 in the morning, then she can't make the Hefsek Taira, then she can't make it until later. Furthermore, many Shitas hold, if she actually saw blood dam on that day, even though she started 5 days before, the Bedika has to be in the afternoon. Which means to say, the only time the Bedika could be in the morning, Lekula Yalma B'di'evid, is if she really didn't see any dam that day, she was staining. But she didn't see dam, she made Bedikas, they didn't come out good. But if she actually saw Rias dam on that day, many hold, the Bedika have to be in the evening, before Shkia. So you ask me, how early she could make it? There are times you can make it in the morning. There are times you cannot make it in the morning. The ideal time, the chatchila, is to make it in the evening, after Mincha Ktana, half hour, 40 minutes before Shkia. If you have to make it in the morning, you really have to know the halachas and ask a shayla, because you may be in the situation that it's not appropriate to make it in the morning. Now, the Chazanish says something very logical. He says, a woman who made a Hefsek Taira didn't come out good. A second lady, she makes another one, didn't come out good. Second lady, she makes another one, didn't come out good. The fourth one came out good. Come on, I mean, the fifth one won't come out good. She took away all the dam, but she's still seeing. He likes to have a certain time between one Hefsek Taira and another Hefsek Taira, meaning if you try once, it doesn't count as good, wait 10 minutes. It happens to be practically a smart idea to do, because experience shows women who make a lot of Hefsek Taira ultimately irritate themselves, and then they have problems with other dam, which is dam maka from a cut. However, not everyone conducts themselves this way. This is what the Chazanish says. To me, it makes a lot of sense. If a woman is reichetzes herself, she washes herself internally, then most paiskim say, Ramosha among them, she should wait 10 minutes before she makes Hefsek Taira. Why? Let's be serious, you know. You wash yourself out, you make Hefsek Taira, it's going to be good. You have to have a little time to see if the Hefsek Taira really is showing us what we would like it to show. So that's the halacha as far as the Hefsek Taira goes. And this is probably the most important bedika, and the Rabbanim are most machmir on the Hefsek Taira in terms of the color, because this establishes her as not seeing, and then we begin the 7 days of cleanliness, of clean. Now, let me tell you what happens after the Hefsek Taira. What happens after the Hefsek Taira is what we call a Moich Dachuk. That is an Eid Bedik, and many people are of the opinion you could use a tampon, that is put into the Isha that lasts from Shkia to Tzeisek Achavim. Ideally, it should last from Shkia until when you think Shabbos is over. If you wait 45 minutes, let it be 45 minutes. If you wait 100 minutes, which I don't think any of us here do, wait 100 minutes. Rav Moshe says 50 minutes is sufficient. Oh, and that's on camera also. Oh, I hope this movie film director has insurance. Wow, okay, it's all right. It's all right. Don't worry. That's like heavily laid. It's not so bad. Running Hilchus Nida is very appropriate. Oh, okay.
It would be done with a wound, right?
Yeah, this is mutter. Okay. Now,
sorry, I missed this point.
I did also. What was I talking about?
A tampon or something?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's the Moich Dachuk. Many hold you can use a tampon for a Moich Dachuk. But the Moich Dachuk is that there is an Eid Bedika or a tampon inserted in the woman. It should remain from Shkia until Shabbos is over. 50 minutes, 45 minutes, fine. Now, the Lashon is L'Oilam Yilmad Adam B'Toich Beisai, that you should have a Moich Dachuk. This, what I'm talking about, this Eid Bedika, this cloth that's in the woman during the period of Shkia Til Tzeis, a person should teach his household. What kind of Lashon is that? If you need it, you need it. If you don't need it, you don't need it. The Teretz is, you don't always need it. When do you need it and when don't you need it? It's the same time you have to make the Bedika in the evening, like I told you before, that's when you need it. Meaning, if a woman sees one day, she had a small Rias Dam, a small period. She saw 6 to 9, and that's it. She wants to make her Hefsek Taira that evening. She must have a Moich Dachuk. If there's no Moich Dachuk, it doesn't work. If Anisha actually saw Dam on that day, her period was 6 days, and it wasn't just staining. It wasn't just she couldn't do a Bedika. She actually saw Dam that day. Then she must have a Moich Dachuk. Not everyone holds this way. But let's say she stopped, but she was staining, her Hefsek Taira didn't come out good. In the terms of the Paiskin, it's not really Mayon Psucha. It's not open. There's really no Dam coming out. Then she doesn't need a Moich Dachuk. Only due to custom, she has a Moich Dachuk. Now, when Moich Dachuk is due to custom, it's much easier. Some women are irritated easily, even though with a tampon, generally, it doesn't happen. But some women, get irritated very easily. Some women have a difficulty to have the Moich Dachuk coming out good. These are times you got to call your rabbi and ask your Rav, what's happening here? Must I have a Moich Dachuk or must I have no Moich Dachuk? Now, the reason why I say you can't always dispense with it, because the Moich Dachuk is sometimes ma'akiv. Sometimes the Moich Dachuk will render the 7 clean days as if they are not useful and helpful. So therefore, sometimes a Moich Dachuk is necessary, and therefore a Shaila should be asked. But you have to realize the other side of the coin. Don't do things you don't have to when they're counterproductive. If a woman can't get through a Moich Dachuk, or she irritates herself, and the irritation for surely is matami, or the irritation is painful, you got to ask a Shaila. You don't have to do things when you don't have to have them done. Let me just make a bracha, by me. Bracha to Adinoy, Elohim Elchilam Shakol, Miyem Vray.
Amen. You're saying it can sometimes ruin the whole Shulkin.
No, it could be that if you need a Moich Dachuk, your Hefsek Taira is no good.
That ruins all.
No. Next day you'll need another Shivas Nakir. Right.
But if it's taken out at night, then if it's specked at, there's no Bedika cloth first, right?
No. First, let me make clear. Maybe I was there. First, a woman makes a Hefsek Taira. That's the insertion of a Bedika cloth. That is before Shkia. She takes it out and it's good. Then she has her Moich Dachuk that stays in from Shkia till Tzeisek Achavim. That's the standard procedure.
It's a second step.
Right, a second step. Now, after that, she has to wear Bigdei Levonim, white garments. and she also has to have white sheets. Now, some say, really, today you don't need white sheets because the garments a woman wears, the sheets are only, they're really not necessary because any dam will be caught in the garment. That makes sense. Rabbi Yisha accepted that, but he said you should still wear white sheets. And Rabbi Yaakov Kabanetsky told someone that, yeah, makes sense, but he still wanted white sheets. So listen, if you don't have white sheets and you're traveling and you're uncomfortable to ask your host, can I have white sheets? Nishkefelach, you can manage with white garments. I mean, that's the reason why I'm saying it over. I want you to have white sheets, but I want you to only realize the white sheets are not so necessary, Bismanazeh, because of the garment the woman wears, which is close to her body, the undergarments. So therefore, have the white sheets. But if you're traveling and you're like, you don't have the white sheet, or you're embarrassed and you don't want to ask your host, can I please have white sheets? You know, you put the wrong color sheets on my bed. Fine. It's not so terrible because it's really not necessary, me'ikr the dinner, as I'm telling you over from the Gaon and Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. When could she take off her white garment? After the seventh day. If, let's say, for some reason she's not going to the mikveh timely, there's no mikveh, husband's out of town, she's not feeling well, she doesn't have to wear her white garments after 7 days. She puts on colored afterwards. She doesn't have to wear white, because white only has to be worn for 7 days. After 7 days, even before going to the mikveh, you could put on colored garments.
We're saying undergarments.
We're talking about undergarments. Yeah, whatever has to be white.
The pajama could be a colored pajama?
The meaning is the inside is generally white, but alpidin it could be colored, yes.
And then the sheet should be white.
Sheet should be white, correct. Sort of like as our ancestors did. Now, let me tell you an interesting halacha that a few people goof themselves up on. Somebody thinks it's no good, a stain. Someone thinks the aid badik is no good. And like I said before, my experience is, what you think is no good is often good. What you think is good is surely good. But you can't go by that, like I said. You gotta ask. You can't just assume until you get a handle yourself. But a person thought this was no good. And then the person decided, had a change of heart, I'll show it to the Rav. They show it to me. Sometimes it's good because it doesn't have the proper size. It was blood for sure, but it wasn't big enough. It was good. Sometimes maybe it was good because it was uncolored and she thought maybe gray is not considered colored. You know, it's a problem because if a woman thinks the Zion Nikiyim stop. And she has to start again. So therefore, if a woman thinks that she's Tomei during the Zion Nikiyim, and later the rabbi says she's Tar, and she didn't have to think she's Tomei, it's a big problem, because she was Masiach Das, she diverted her attention from her Yemei Taira. So never think you're Tomei until you're 110%. If you're sure, and doubly sure, you're not going to ask a Shaila, fine. But if you feel you may change your mind, don't think you're Tomei. Because if you think you're tummy, and this has happened pretty often, you're not tummy. Sometimes you're not tummy. I say maybe the garment was colored, maybe the size wasn't a problem. You know, it's different halachas. And maybe even the color, you know, you make a mistake. I remember someone showed me a shaila, and he says, I know my wife's tummy. I showed it to a rav, and said, my wife is tummy. So I say, I'll look at it if you want. It was tar, you know, I don't know, the rav made a mistake, you know, it's not such a difference tonight, but it was tar like anything. It was tar, number one, the color didn't pass muster to be tame. Number two, it didn't have a shear. It was a small amount. It was a garment. It was a stain. So I didn't want to tell him that it's good because I was concerned about the other rav. You know, I couldn't, no one knows the rav here. It was out of town. Don't worry, not here. So I didn't know what to do. To say that he should continue and consider his wife tame, that's not right. To say his wife is tar, I had a little hesitation because there's a covenant of the Rav and there's a din of Chacham She'asar. Halach is if you go to one Chacham, he says something is asar. So the halacha is you can't go to another Rav and ask a Shaila. So I violated rabbinical etiquette. The issue is Mesiach Das also, right. I don't know, I don't think she was Mesiach Das. I don't remember, she went to me. You know, she knew maybe a little better. So I said like this, there was a Rav, a very chush of a Rav, that many Rabbanim learned Maris from, Rav Naishlis, the Kohen of Rav. He was the Av Beis Din of Nuskver, Chassidus Rav, but he was the Rav that taught all different communities Maris. Not the only one, but he was very popular, very chush of in that area. So I go with this person, this balabas, down to the Rav, and I say what happened, you know, and I, you know, there was no question, it was tar. He says, tar! He had no problem saying it. I say, yeah. Then the balabas asks, am I chacham sha'asar? He says, don't worry, he's not a chacham. You don't have to worry about that. He took it upon himself. I wouldn't speak that way, you know. But, you know, you can't assume something is tamei unless you're 100% sure. Because if you're not 100% sure, and you're going to ask the Rav later with a change of heart, you're going to have
you
a problem.
But a woman is the one that's being that's yeah. The man, you're saying.
No, the man came with the woman, Shiloh. You know, they were a husband and wife.
But maybe he didn't tell her that.
Well, you know, I don't remember what happened like 10 years ago. I could just say that's what happened.
Can I ask, we speak about speaking to a Rav. I understand some communities, they have a woman that answers these Shilas.
Listen, I get Shilas. I can't tell you about women getting Shilas. I get the Shilas.
No, they have a woman representative for the shul.
Listen, if someone's uncomfortable to come to the Rav, so the woman doesn't have to come. She could send her husband. There's no enough Kamina. I generally answer Shilas for men and women. You know, I would say more of my shilas are for women than men. You know, the women don't always feel uncomfortable, you know. Okay, let's go a little bit further. During the 7 clean days, she can bathe, she could shower, she could go swimming. However, it's appropriate to do that after the bedik in the morning. Again, it makes sense. She can take a bath and check herself. I mean, the checking is not going to be really a checking. Now, how many times do you have to check during the 7 clean days? Twice a day. Once in the morning and once in the evening. Every day, 2 times 7 is 14. Now, could you dispense with the 14 checks with a shasat chak? Sometimes you could, but again, the appropriate way is to ask a shaila to a rav. But I'll tell you, because I have confidence in the Olam, that the 1st and 7th day are crucial once each time. If you did the 1st day and not the 7th, no good. The 7th and not the 1st, no good. 1st and 3rd, no good. If you did 1st and 3rd, the Rav may tell you the 3rd will become the 1st, and then you have to go from the 3rd, 4th, 5th in order to get to a 7th. You need that 1st and 7th sandwich. If you do any other, 2nd and 6th, no good. The 6th, the 2nd will become the 1st, and then you have to do the 2nd and the 8th. Now, when do you have to do them? The ideal time is when she gets up in the morning and before Shkia. If you did it at nighttime, it's a big Shiloh. Probably you could be Makel if she did one during the day on the 1st day and the 7th at night. But they should be done during the day. Sometimes a woman has problems doing bedikah. So the Rav would say, what's the problem? It irritates. Sometimes irritation gives problems because it causes cuts. It causes dam to come on the aid bedikah. In those cases, what you have to do is ask the Rav, and he'll probably say the 1st and 7th day is sufficient. But the 1st and 7th are very crucial. Often, the Rav won't allow one the 1st day and not the 7th day. He may be mitzar if the 7th day was done late and make sirufim, but really the 1st and 7th day, but really the chatchil, it should be twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. Now, the next half of Hilchis Nida, which we're not going to start this week, hopefully next week in Mirtz Hashem, is going to talk about Vestis, which are a good part of Hilchis Nida. And also a good part of Hilchis Nida is the Bedikas on Vestis and Harchakis. Vestis is complicated. We'll save that for next week. Harchakis is relatively easy. It's not such a difficult concept. But I want to start it a little bit this week in the waning moments of the shir. And we'll pick it up next week and we'll do Vestis next week. Harchakis, there's really a contradiction in terms. A woman who a person is usher to be with, you can't be miyachid with, right? I think most of us feel we could be miyachid with our wives when they're not tahar, right? Right? A woman's a neder would be a big problem if you'd have to separate houses. So the Gemara says, Suga Mashreshanim, we have confidence that they won't be over the Yisr Nida, but that's also, if you know from the sugyas in Ksuvis, that's only after they were with each other one time. In other words, if a person marries a woman and at the chasna the woman is a Nida, they cannot be in the same house together until she goes to the mikveh, and after they're together once, then there's no more Yisr Yichah. That's fine. But on the other hand, there are harchokas that the Chachamim b'chachmasim instituted to make sure, because you're familiar, you know your wife, you're always with her, you're miyachin with her, so you have certain harchokas that you must do in order to have a gather and a fence that a person would not become, not come to the iser of living with his wife when she's a nida. So yichud is mutter, but there's a lot of harchokas that you don't have to conduct yourself when you deal with a woman who is not your wife. Now, the first halacha I would mention is the dress, the way the wife dresses. Now, it says she has to dress in a way that is sneistic in the house. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein gives a guideline, which is novel, but I think it's practiced and accepted, and he was, of course, the greatest paisik in America, that the way a woman dresses at home when she is not a nida, that is sufficient. If she is a nida, and she doesn't have to dress the way she dresses outside. Now, it doesn't mean if a woman, let's say, would go sleeveless in the house, I don't think he means that. I think he means the standard that she conducts herself outside in the street is not the standard in the house. The standard in the house is more loose, and therefore, when she's a nida, she doesn't have to conduct herself with the standard outside. Maybe we'll get back to that a little. But this is Ramesh's psak. Lamashal, a woman who covers her hair outside, inside Ramesh says if she walks with uncovered hair, she doesn't have to cover it b'mei nidusa. Why not? Covering the hair is sneis, but that's not the demand of Hilchas Nida. The demand of Hilchas Nida is the way she walks around in the house when she is not a Nida. That's the way she's accustomed to walk. That's the same standard when she is a Nida.
So now, there's no change. There's no difference. For something.
Well, it means if there's a moment that, let's say, she wants to change clothes or something, you're right. But the actual walking, there's no change. Now, unless, you know, like I said, sleeves, I don't think he means to that extent. There is a locha la yisrach la yekalima, that there shouldn't be frivolous behavior together. Playing ball together is generally frowned upon. You could give her a present. She could give you a present. Not bad. Hearing her sing, Ramesha follows the Pischei Tshuva that you should not. He speaks about it. Not so simple to him, but he follows the psak of the Pischei Tshuva that you should be machmer, but he wants to tie it in maybe because she always sings. Maybe it's not so chover. Maybe it's like the mode of dress, but he says not. To smell her perfume, which is on her, he says not. To touch her, even through a garment, I say he says not. The Shulchan Aruch says not.
Wait, you should not do it.
You should not. Right.
Can I say?
Well, let me just. I just want to just finish this because I see I'm by the last minute, and I'm almost finished. And the halacha says also, which maybe is the most imposing halacha, especially in public, especially for newlyweds who are sensitive and sort of feel that everyone is looking at them, understandably, because they have a whole mode of behavior and they're very conscious about it. You can't pass something to her. Lo yishait. Because we're afraid you'll come to touch. Children that could walk, if a child goes from one parent to another, it's mutter. Others are makel, even if they don't go on their own, that you put the child into your wife's hands, it's mutter. But this is one of the halachas. You don't pass things to your wife when she is a nida. There is also halacha, you don't put something into her pocketbook or into her pocket, and she doesn't do it to you. So you get the flavor, which I'm sure we knew already, that Chazal instituted a lot of these halachas. B'chachmasam, they felt, this is what necessary. It's your wife, you're always with her, you're living with her. And therefore we have to make a fence to prevent any iser from transpiring. Next week, Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, we will talk about other harchokas, eating at a table, and what a woman cannot do for a husband. And in Mirz Hashem, we will learn the halachas of Vestas, and I hope everyone comes back and some other people could come also.
Good.
Can I just come?
Yeah. Oh. Now I need is the rest.